Hannah and Miley.
Yes, my daughter.
Your daughter. She's beautiful.
Thank you.
What school does she go to?
It's called Downtown Dogs.
It's so cute.
Grandparents pay for the tuition.
Oh, really? Aw. Hannah's dog is just laying on top of the table right now like a perfect little angel. I've never seen a dog do this before.
She loves flat surfaces, like hard flat surfaces, because I think she gets hot. Mm. So it's nice. She loves like spreading her legs.
She's like me. Yeah. She's like a lap dog, but like open to tables.
Mm-hmm.
I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Lap and table.
She. Ooh, yes. My joke that I used to have. Yeah. That's so funny. That reminds me, Hannah, we met 7 years ago in a stand-up class.
I know.
How funny is that? Sometimes I'm like, that's so random.
I remember when I first met you in the class, I was so intimidated and I assumed you were so mean because you were so hot.
What?
And you had this new, you're from New York.
Yeah.
Which is mean, a mean vibe. Just like a very blunt vibe.
Right.
And I, at the time, I think I was like 20, maybe I was still in college. I think I was still in college.
Yeah. You were.
I was a senior in college.
Yeah.
So I couldn't give an opinion without apologizing. And you would just like give your opinion. I'd be like, oh my God, this girl is so scary.
That's so funny. It's so funny. People always say that they think I'm intimidating. But I don't think anymore, right? Maybe at first. I don't think anymore.
It's hard because I've known you for so long. Yeah. It's hard to say. But yeah. I do think, I don't know. I think you are intimidating to, like, when you came to the pool that one day with my friend Kylie, she was like, she's very intimidating.
What?
But not, that's not, that's a compliment.
Is it?
I think so.
I remember in that class.
I'd rather be intimidating than annoying.
Yeah, totally. I remember in that class, I got in a fight with a girl. Do you remember that?
Yes, that's part of the thing. I was like going to say, didn't you fight a girl, but then get in a fight? But
she was being such a bitch.
Who was? Oh, I guess we shouldn't.
I remember. I'll tell you. It doesn't even matter because she like doesn't even do stand up anymore. But she kept like making all these snide comments. And then I was finally like, what the fuck is your problem? Like, do you have a problem with me? And
wait,
then she was like,
the Russian girl?
No. Oh. There's always one Russian girl in a stand-up class. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wait, was there a Russian girl in our stand-up class?
Probably.
I took that class a couple times because I was still in college and I didn't want to do open mic, so I just kept
Yeah. It was helpful to, like, jumpstart.
I think so, because going to an open mic, I would bomb so hard in front of all these guys, and I was like, if I hadn't had that class, I wouldn't have met, like, girls who were doing it and to go to mics and stuff.
Yeah, I thought it really kept me accountable because I remember like at that time, like I really wanted to do stand up, but I felt scared. You know,
same.
I was still like, I still have to get over that, like getting up all the time. So I knew I'd have to get up to like be prepared for the class to like have jokes and like, you know, want to look good.
Yeah.
So if I know there's something that I have to want to look good in front of, like I'll practice for it. So
yeah.
If it wasn't for the class, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. I also feel like I before I did that stand-up class, I was doing improv.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so bad at improv because, again, I had no confidence. So everything I said, I was like, I think, you know. Or if someone had a really bad suggestion, I'd be like, I don't want to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Whereas with stand-up, I wanted to take a class because I'm better at prepping and better at preparing, like doing homework. I was never like a test taker. I always had to study.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why.
I did improv before first, too. I did UCB and Groundlings. Did you do?
I did both, yeah.
Yeah. Which one did you like better?
I really didn't like either of them, honestly. I don't know why I did it for so long. I guess Groundlings felt more applicable to acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could develop characters, whereas improv was more about UCB was more about just like being quick.
Mm-hmm.
And really good improv is fun to watch, but there's very few of those
people who are like that great
yeah.
to watch. Yeah. But like when you do watch shows with like those excellent people, it's like obviously incredible. Like I remember, you know, it when it looks like a magic trick, when you're just so stunned, like, but I think that's someone who's like has no experience watching improv and just doesn't know how it works.
Yeah, but I think it's the same with stand-up. Like some people are like, oh, it looks so easy,
or they think it's not it's like off the top of their head, like every single set. Like
yeah.
I remember my friends being like, oh, do you have like a whole new set? And it's like, no,
Yeah.
I hate that.
I know. When my brother always says that. What new jokes are you doing? I'm like, don't come.
Have you ever done like a show and then, or like two shows in a night and then people come to the second show from the first show and you notice them in the audience and you're like, I don't want to do the same set just because of this one specific group of people and you're giving them so much power?
No, but that makes me feel kind of bad that I don't have fans following to shows. Well, you had like fans coming.
It wasn't for me. I opened for Jeff Garlin at a show and then it was at Flappers. And then the second show was like a Flapper show. And this family stayed for the second show, just like wanting more comedy with like different people. But I was on the second show and I was trying to do like the same jokes because they were like new and I was trying to, you know, work them out.
Yeah. But before I started stand up, my college boyfriend, I told him I wanted to do stand up. So our first date, he took me to a stand up show. And then his brother wanted to go see, because it was like Jay Leno. So his brother wanted to go. So we went with his brother the next week thinking it would be a whole new set. Mm-hmm. And it was all the same jokes. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So I was the same way.
Yeah.
Before I started.
Let's talk about how good you look.
Wow. Thank you.
You're very toned.
Thank you.
Your arms are so toned.
Thank you.
Enviable arms. You have revenge body.
You know what? That is, I feel it.
What are we doing?
I saw a nutritionist. I saw Bella Hadid's nutritionist.
Really? How did you get Bella Hadid's nutritionist?
Google. It's not that hard.
You Googled Bella Hadid's nutritionist?
Yes.
That's so funny because you were like, I love her body. I want to follow what she does.
Well, she also doesn't drink and she's really into this thing, this drink. Have you heard of Kin?
I think so. Is that an adaptogen?
Yeah.
Okay. Explain what that is, because I don't even know.
It's like a natural energy drink, so it just gives me energy, as opposed to, I used to drink a lot of Red Bull, and I hate Red Bull, so this is better, I think it's better for you than a coffee.
Is this in place of coffee?
Yeah, coffee, yeah. Because I used to have a coffee in the morning and a coffee in the afternoon, and now I'll have a Kin in the afternoon.
Ooh, and a coffee in the morning?
Still a coffee in the morning.
Just trying to figure it out. So how much caffeine, is this like green tea extract?
A Kin?
Yeah.
I don't know what, to be honest, I don't know what adaptogen is.
And that's where it gets shady.
It tastes good.
And that's where it gets shady.
Well, I mean,
I've heard they're not good for sobriety for some people.
Really?
I think so.
I mean,
like, everyone has their own thing.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, of all the things that I could be doing, a Kin is not going to.
Are they flavored?
Yeah.
Do you get, like, a little high from it?
Not really.
Okay.
It does give me, like a... But I wouldn't say, I guess it gives me less energy than a Red Bull, but it also doesn't give me the shakiness of a Red Bull.
Oh, okay. So it sounds more natural.
Yeah. And then they have a Kin for sleeping.
Ooh.
That's like, it makes you calm. Mm. And I had one when I was at South by Southwest at an event because they only had the nighttime ones. But I was like, I don't think it'll actually make me sleepy. And I was very tired.
Was it just like magnesium?
You're asking me, you think I drink the ingredients?
You don't?
Not really, no.
That's so funny.
Have you heard of those not alcoholic-free wine stores that they have?
Yeah, but I'm not. That's not for me.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But my friend...
Rosé.
Yeah,
it's like fake rosé, frosé.
Yeah, but I went into the store because I do like Seed Lip, which is this basically liquor replacement. But I don't like getting like fruity drinks at bars.
Yeah.
But I went on a cruise and I tried this thing called Seed Lip, which is
Why'd you go on a cruise? Was it work related?
I wanted to challenge my sobriety.
And yourself.
Yeah. I'd never been on a cruise and my friend's boyfriend was working on it.
Doing what?
He was a performer.
What kind of performance?
He's a singer. So he
cruises gross me out so much.
But it was a Virgin Voyage.
Okay, is that a better brand than Carnival?
It's what's his name, Virgin.
Oh, so there was purple lights in the aisleway.
Exactly, but he launched the cruise this year.
Oh,
so it was brand new, and it is a 5,000 person capacity or maybe it's 2,500 person capacity,
okay.
But there were only 500 people on the ship.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, so
now
it wasn't crowded.
Okay, so tell me more.
The food was really good because every restaurant is included, but they're all restaurants. So they had the Korean barbecue, they had an Italian place, and it was all great food, which you don't expect on a cruise.
How long are you on the cruise?
You know, I was on a little too long, let's just put it that way, because I ended up in solitary confinement.
What?
Yes.
They put you in jail?
Well, they put me in a room without windows.
Why?
In the middle of the ship.
A punishment?
Yes, because...
Wait, you were punished on the ship?
Yes, hilariously.
This is some Sea Org shit.
Yes, I was the only sober person on the ship who ended up in solitary confinement. So what happened was I forgot my antidepressants.
Oh.
Which...
That's not good.
Not good.
Yeah.
And...
Did you have your kin?
I did not have my kin. I had nothing.
Here's where it went wrong.
I was raw dogging on a cruise ship, okay? And I was worried about it, but I was like, I'm on this fuck. Like, what can I do?
Yeah.
I'm on the ship now. And I, by day three, I really felt horrible.
Yeah.
Like I needed something.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the nurse's station and I was like, I need some sort of calming, you know, like a, I didn't even know what they would give me, but something that would take down my anxiety so I wouldn't feel so depressed and anxious. And the woman was like, she brought me into the doctor and she was like, we need to say that you are going to kill yourself so that we can give you, what did they give me?
Gabapentin?
No, it's something that's
Ativan.
Ativan.
Okay.
Which I don't, you know, there's a lot of people in rehab trying to get off Ativan, so I would never be on it fully. But I was like, you know what? They're going to shoot me up with Ativan.
It's one of the safer
anxiety
medications.
Plus, I'm an uppers person, so I'm never going to get addicted to like Xanax or Ativan. I don't like to be sleepy. Mm-hmm. So she shot me up with Ativan, and then she was like, you have to call us at 10 p.m. Because we need to know that you're okay. Mind you, the time change, we changed times because of like time zones on the ship at like 4 p.m. So I have no fucking idea what time it is. And there's a cruise party, a red party where you go to all these events. And I'm on a shit ton of Ativan because they shot me up.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling fucking good.
Yeah.
And then at like 10:30, these girls approached me and they're like, are you Hannah Dickinson? I was like, yes, I am. Thinking they recognized me from, I don't know, Twitter. And they were like, you need to come with us right now. So my friends who I was with, they were like, we thought you killed yourself. In front of all these random
crew. They said that?
Yes. They said, we thought you killed yourself. You need to come with us right now. In front of all these random people on the cruise. And my friends were like.
Like a guy you're hitting it off with?
Yeah, I was hitting it off with a guy on a cruise.
No, but you know, you never know. What else is there to do?
Yeah, exactly. And trust me, I looked around. But yeah, it was just like very, they were making a scene. And I was like, okay, like, this is very.
Really? Can you keep it down or I will kill myself?
Yeah, do you want me to jump off the ship? So my friends were like, we're going to come with you because this is insane. Like,
yeah.
They shouldn't be yelling at you.
Right.
So I go down and they were like, I go down back to this doctor and she's like, I told you to call me at 10 p.m. I was like, I'm sorry, I forgot. And she was like, you know, I trusted you. I was like, why? And she was like, okay, you're going to have to go into solitary confinement for the rest of the evening.
What?
And I was like, I don't think so. And she was like, you have no choice.
That's insane.
Yes, it is. It was truly insane. And I was so pissed off because they were changing the story. Because I was like, they were like, you know, you were going to kill yourself. So we had to make sure you weren't. And I was like, you made me say that so I would get the Ativan. She was like, no, you told the nurse that outside. And I was like, no, I did not. So she takes the nurse outside and tells her to say that. And they come back in and decide that's what I said. It was like very odd.
Yeah.
Because they weren't, I forget why they gave it. They gave it to me and I should have signed something. But she was like, I'm not going to make you whatever. And as a result, I had to go into solitary confinement for the rest of the evening, but my friend got to come with me and it was like, whatever. It was towards the end of the night anyway.
Mm-hmm. So what was solitary confinement?
It was just a different room where they take out the glass and they take out, you know, the knives and whatever. And
were like, Hannah, we're in Greece. Wake up. You know,
we weren't allowed to shut the door. So the security guard had to wait outside our door the whole night. And she was like, but I can bring you snacks. And I was so pissed off. I was like, do you have any sharp snacks I could eat?
That's crazy that they could do that.
Yeah.
It's like the cult of Richard Branson.
Well, I think they, you know, when you hire a doctor on a cruise ship, I imagine they went to a medical school in the Caribbean, you know?
What was that, like, online university? Yeah, I couldn't think of the name.
University of Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it just felt, I mean, even when they gave me the Ativan, it felt weird that they were like, we shouldn't be giving this to you, or like,
yeah.
The whole thing was weird, but.
So then from there, like, what happened with your mental health on the cruise after the Ativan?
So there are two more days left, mm-hmm. and.
Overseas.
And I felt, honestly, it lasted me through the trip.
Mm.
And they gave me pills, like Ativan pills if I needed to take it. And I ended up not taking them because I didn't want to if I didn't have to.
Yeah. Is this when you're going to Greece?
No, I just went to Greece. I went on a cruise in February. This year I've really traveled.
Love it. Wait, so where did you go? Where were you going on the cruise?
Dominican Republic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We call it DR.
The DR.
So what kind of performer was the guy? He was a singer?
Yeah.
Was he good?
He was a good singer.
It'd be funny if he wasn't.
I felt bad for the performers, mm-hmm. because the ship was not crowded. So the singers have to go to random parts of the ship and just sing. And they're kind of like, what's that band that's like, the Lumineers, you know? They're all like shaking their like boxes or whatever.
No, I've heard of the Lumineers, but I don't know anything about
them. It's like
them.
A banjo and like a...
Like people, they're just like subway acts.
Yes, but I don't want to...
You don't want to degrade it to that,
yeah.
But like that is the vibe.
Yeah, because it's
like
very...
on track three, he's like...
Because it's very... what's it called when it's, you know... what's it called when they pop up? It is a cappella, but... What's it called? Busking. Yeah, it's kind of
what
like
is busking.
Busking vibes in the subway when they're like singing.
No, like a pop-up show.
Yeah,
busking?
It's a pop-up show, right?
Okay, so like if someone starts like doing flips in the subway cart, they're busking.
Yeah,
they're busking out.
Yeah, but they don't. I guess it's not busking because they don't ask for money.
Okay,
they're paid by the cruise ship.
Mm. So he's just busking.
Yes.
Okay.
But I felt.
Did you guys get a discount?
No.
Hmm.
But I forgot why I went. Oh, I was supposed to go with Ryan Sickler to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd renewed my passport to go to do shows, mm-hmm. there, but he canceled them because Canada has really strict COVID, mm-hmm. rules. And I've just, this year, after a year out of rehab, I was just like, I'm going to try to do a bunch of things I've never tried before.
Yeah.
And that's...
Total new sobriety shit.
Yeah, right? I was just like, I can't be stuck in my house,
mm-hmm.
because... You know, I just wanted to, like, explore the world.
Yeah,
and it's, like, the first time in my life I could afford it. So I was like, I'm going to go on this cruise. And I am never going to do a cruise again.
Never. So, so you're on the ship. And then once you get to the location, DR, how, like, do you spend 3 days there off the ship?
No,
like,
you just spend a day. So
that's it? So you're just on the water the whole time?
Pretty much, yeah.
I would hate that. Did you feel like claustrophobic? Were you like, I've had enough?
By the end, I had had enough.
And do you get seasick at all?
No, it was actually really comfortable because the beds, it's the purple lights or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they have TVs and these little beds. And I had my own room. Like two of my friends shared a bigger room, but I think I would have felt really claustrophobic if I had shared a room with, mm-hmm. someone. Even though they were bigger, it just, you're in this little... Feels like you're camping, kind of.
Yeah. And then when you went to Greece, did you go to Mykonos?
That's where I went, yeah.
Did you go to Namos, that beach club?
Which one's Namos?
It's the one with the blue and white striped chairs.
I don't know. I went on that strip of all the beach clubs. It's what by Scorpios. Did you go to Scorpios?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
When that's like apocalyptic beach club.
Yeah.
That's
like connected to Soho House.
Right. How'd you like Mykonos? When we landed and we were like driving past all the rocks and it was like really dry, I was like, huh, not what I thought.
Really?
But then I ended up liking it. But at first I remember being like shocked at the landscape.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
So my friend is living abroad because she works remotely. So she's doing Airbnbs.
That's
five
amazing.
Weeks at a time. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She doesn't have social media. She's like a very cool person. And I was going to London and Amsterdam for my birthday. And she's like, will you come to Mykonos? I don't know. whatever.
Miley and I will excuse it.
Is it Mykonos or Mykonos?
I think it's Mykonos.
Okay. Some people were saying Mykonos and I switched it to Mykonos, but you're...
I always thought it was Mykonos.
You know, two white women just fucking it up.
Tony? Yeah, you can look it up.
Yeah, have...
But Google. I really don't want to be wrong. Also, I'm sweating. Are you hot?
I'm a little hot, but...
Mykonos. So... But,
and I, it was what I expected. I feel like photos looked like Greece to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept getting lost because she lived in the town.
Yeah.
And it was designed that way. My mom gave me a travel book for Greece, and I gave it to the girl when I got there. I was like, I'm not a reader.
You're like, here's Frommer's from my mom.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what every mom gets. They're like, get Frommer's. It's like the one travel book that they had. Yeah, I loved Mykonos, though. It was really pretty, amazing food. It was cool. The town is so cute.
I know. I spent so much money just shopping because they have the best shopping.
Yeah. So fun.
I want to go to Santorini, though. Everyone's
I know.
Like,
me too. That's where I didn't. I think that's the vibe that I kind of had been expecting, but I just didn't like how there was no beach access. So that's why I didn't go there.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Because I think you're just on a cliff. But that's like the more like what you think of when you think of Greece, like the sisterhood of the traveling pants Greece.
The riding the donkeys.
I never saw that. I never saw that. But like the blue and white vibe.
Yeah. Don't they ride donkeys? Isn't that a thing in Greece?
I don't know. I don't know if about a donkey. I never even saw any animals in Greece.
Yeah, me either. But I asked my friend, I was like, do we ride donkeys? And she was like, where the fuck did you hear that? Like, it's like
we're not in Guatemala.
But I swear in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, they did ride a donkey.
Hmm.
But I could be.
They might have.
Completely making that up.
So how'd you like Amsterdam?
I didn't love it.
Yeah, I haven't been there.
I always wanted to go because I love Saletti. It's an interior design, like funky. Mm-hmm. They have mirrors and lamps. And I like scotch and soda. So I really like the vibe of very eclectic, you know, design and art. But when I got there, it smelled like shit. And I spent a lot of money on the Airbnb because I was like, this is for my birthday, whatever. And our Airbnb smelled like shit the whole time.
Ew. And it was like everything smelled.
It was just the bathroom because of the sewage, because it's a, you know, it's a canal
city. Yeah. Gross. Was it like a different experience to be there sober?
I felt like going from London to Amsterdam and knowing I was going to Greece, it was actually a really nice reset because it was quieter and we didn't go out at all and I didn't really want to.
Yeah.
But I did have sex with a guy.
Okay.
A Dutch guy.
And he was probably uncircumcised.
Circumcised.
And tall. Oh, interesting.
Tall though.
Yeah. Was he hot?
He was hot.
What city had the hottest guys?
London. It's tough to say. I maybe Amsterdam.
Hmm.
The Bumble on Amsterdam was more impressive.
So tall. Everyone's so tall. I love tall.
Yeah, but this guy, I guess I shouldn't say this.
No, come on.
The penis.
Yeah.
Not proportional to what the is height.
That? So it's small.
It was just,
why can't you say that?
It was small.
Why can't you say that?
I don't know. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't. But I was just, you know, for someone of that stature.
I've seen that. I hooked up with a guy who's 6'11", smallest dick ever.
That's got to be tough because it definitely looks smaller.
That's happened twice of guys who were, and then another guy who was like 6'9".
That sucks because that just means they're going to die sooner. You know, tall guys don't live long.
Really?
Imagine a tall old person. It's like a golden retriever.
My grandpa was like 6'5" and lived to like 98.
Oh, well, then maybe I'm wrong.
I want to get back to the nutritionist.
Okay, yeah. Right.
You Googled Bella Hadid's nutritionist. You actually got the answer off Google?
I might have Googled, like, a model nutritionist.
Love it. Okay.
NYC models.
Walk me through this process.
Google.
The first meeting.
So the first meeting, I only ended up doing two or three meetings because... I tried his diet plan. Not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. What's their diet plan? And this is what a model's diet plan would be?
Well, it's just this guy who was a chiropractor, but he went back to school to be learn about nutrition because he used to be a crackhead in San Francisco. And basically he got sober.
Yeah.
And was like, how do I change my life to be as healthy as possible?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of things you don't think about. Like, so he measures your how hydrated you are,
mm-hmm.
How you're breathing. So he measures your breath to see, because a lot of all stress is related to your breath, because if you're breathing correctly, you won't be stressed. Like if you're, you know, that's
getting enough air in, like oxygen to your brain.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
And he told me I need to sleep with my mouth tape closed because I'm a mouth breather. And basically if you breathe through your mouth in your sleep, you're like 45% more likely to have a heart attack.
What? So did you ever tape your mouth closed?
Nah.
Me neither. I would never do that.
I think I'm going to start because I'm kind of, you know.
What kind of tape?
It's like they have a mouth tape that you can put over your mouth.
No one's doing that.
Tom Allen or Chad Kroger.
Yeah.
I heard him on this like clip of a podcast saying it. And I was like, yeah,
he did it.
I think he does it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Some people are
committed to health. I'm a mouth breather.
Yeah.
So what?
That's a problem.
It's not a hot girl trait.
It's yeah. So he basically told. Yeah. So there was that. And he was like, you need to be on a sleep schedule. So he was like, you need to be in bed by 10. Mm-hmm. No phone after 9.
And then what how long? 8 hours always?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should, when you wake up, work out before or, you know, move before, try not to eat before 11.
Mm.
And basically go vegan. Vegan is his answer.
Huh.
Because dairy, it slows your blood flow. You know, it just makes, like dairy and fats and other animals, it clogs your arteries.
Did you stop eating dairy and meat?
Mm-hmm, for like 2 weeks.
Whoa. Yeah. I feel like that's like my life.
Yeah.
And was that hard?
Yeah. I mean, I like cheated with some, I'd have like a Twizzler every now and then, and I would have some vegan ice cream because I'm like, I need something. But I just try to make smaller sacrifices so that, like, I do oat milk lattes. I try not to eat. I try to work out in the morning.
Wait, oat milk lattes as opposed to what?
Like regular, like 2% or.
Oh, okay. Okay. I do oat milk. What else? I'm trying to lose 25 pounds.
Well, he says for working out, because I did Barry's and SoulCycle a lot, and I had a SoulCycle bike in my apartment, and he was like, that is not going to. He's like, you burn more fat or. Burn more fat at a lower heart rate. So he says walking and Pilates are the two best things.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, stop doing berries. It's just overexhausting your body and making you hungrier.
Mm-hmm.
And
did he say like how long a day you should be walking or like the amount of steps or time that you put into it?
I think, 10,000 steps. Yeah. And
that's so hard to do in LA. Like in New York, it's nothing. Yeah. But in LA, like, it takes real effort to walk that much.
Yeah. I mean, even in London and Amsterdam, I was walking like 18,000 steps a day.
Yeah. But like you walk everywhere in Europe.
Yeah. In LA, I haven't worked out once since I've been here. But I also do solid core, which is like a Caris Pilates, a reformer Pilates.
Ooh. Is that in New York? Solid core?
Mm-hmm.
Have you done SLT in New York?
No.
I always heard that one was good.
I've done New York Pilates.
So what's the diet?
I just don't eat as much.
Like you're cutting portions in half?
Yeah.
It's
portions.
What's a breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
I'm trying to think of what I ate today. I had like honestly, I've only eaten this like leftover pasta.
But you can have pasta. So you can still have fun.
I don't really. It's more portion control. Mm, I guess I just don't eat a lot, if I'm being real.
I'm like, can't always a diet, and you're like, it's nothing.
it's an eating disorder. It's a full-on eating disorder. No, it's just I don't. I feel like when I lived in LA, I was really heavy. Not really heavy, but I was a lot heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And I was constantly thinking about food because I was constantly trying to diet. So I was like, oh, I'll just eat all these almonds. Which is a lot of calories. So I was so focused on my next meal because I was like, I need to plan it out, that I was constantly thinking about food.
Yeah.
And.
Well, I see that for people. Like I've seen people who are I feel like people who are constantly obsessed with dieting sometimes are like never losing weight. And I'm always like, oh, I wonder what they're doing exactly.
It's portions a lot. It's so much portions.
Like, they're like, oh, I can have a huge salad with all this shit in it and think that's still okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they finish the whole salad.
Yeah.
Or they'll, yeah, that's what I did. I mean, I would never really look at the calories. I'd just be like, oh, I'll have this huge salad and then not think about the bread that I was consuming at the beginning of the meal. Like, I just kind of used to eat mindlessly or I'd eat in front of the TV.
Yeah, so it's, like, also, like, controlled, like, well, not controlled, but, like, not having, like, a lot of stimulus going on.
Yeah. And I also think cutting drinking just...
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I mean, that's...
Do you feel, like, a huge change from that?
Yeah.
All around?
Yeah. Well, because, you know, I tried to get sober since I was, what, 23?
Yeah.
I could never do it. And once I hit a year, which was a month ago, or
congrats,
even before a year, thanks. Maybe about, I'd say, 9 months in, I was like, wow, like, I cannot believe I drank for as long as I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was always, like, a small temptation up until, like, 4 months ago, you know? Like a
What changed? You feel like you just, like, hit the point where you're like, I'm used to it now?
Yeah, I think, like, going on a cruise and traveling and, like, having fun without it proved to myself that I could do it. And I think about certain, like, I think about that cruise, what it would have looked like with me drinking, and it would have been a lot more of a regret than being in solitary confinement, you know?
Yeah, we call that playing the tape.
Yeah, my sponsor used to say that all the time. When I would, at the beginning, was like, ugh, I want to drink. She's like, play the fucking tape. And also what happened to me was so horrible. Like, I should have lost my life, I always feel like. It was just like a really terrifying experience that just thinking of that moment just like gives me the chill, like just give me the chills right now.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine drinking. There's never been a fun time drinking. That could tempt me over what happened, you know?
I feel like also for me, like when I was drinking, like it was only like really fun when I was like 18.
Yeah.
And then it like stopped getting fun because every time was like, you know, I was like a mess and something gross would happen. And it was never that like fun, like, you know, we're freshmen in college, like having like, no problem, like you're not waking up covered in throw up.
Yeah, I mean, I was waking up covered in pee in college, but I was like, everyone's doing it.
I never peed my pants. I don't even think I did as a little kid.
I peed the bed twice in college.
Didn't you pee the bed with a guy in it?
No, that was not me.
Okay, that was another girl.
No, thankfully, no, I was not with a man, but
I did wake up one time covered in throw up and my boyfriend knocked on the door and it scared me. So I jumped up. And then when he went to meet me, I was covered in all this stuff. And I was so fucked up still that I thought he brought me food and spilled it all over myself. And then when I got back into the and then I went right into the bathroom. And then when I came back, I was like, where are my sheets? He was like, they were covered in throw up. And I was like, oh, I thought you brought me breakfast.
What did you throw up?
I don't even want to tell you, but it was pokey.
Oh,
it was disgusting.
Oh,
and then I couldn't eat it like ever again.
I don't know if I'll be able to eat it.
I know. That's like the grossest thing to throw up.
Oof.
I'm sweating profusely. Right. I'm sweating all the time. Like after having a baby, like I can't stop sweating. I tried to have sex, by the way, for the first time since birth.
How did it go?
I made him stop. It was so funny. It was like, so I finally got cleared by my doctor and like this was 2 months later and like I was so fucking terrified. All I had in my like in my head was like the vision of like giving birth when he was like trying to have sex with me. And like birth is so fucking traumatic. It's straight up trauma. Trauma.
I believe it.
So then when he was like trying to put his dick in me, I was like, no, like I just didn't want anything else to ruin my body. So then like everyone's always like, oh, you have to use like a lot of lube. You have to use a lot of lube because like your is this too much?
No, I'm sorry. I just.
Because they're like, oh, because like the hormones like make you like really dry and stuff. Miley, you okay? And her head's turned away.
She's spayed. She doesn't care.
And we're using coconut oil. And then Steven's like, we can't use this. Like, we're not hippies. We need lube. Like, this has to be medical. Like, this isn't, like, cutting it. And then, like, I made him stop 3/4 of the way in. And I was like, I just can't.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to work my way up to it. I don't know how people do it.
I mean,
it was scary.
You're not making me want to have a child. Sure.
Did you want to before this?
I've been thinking about it. I guess since I got sober, I'm like, yeah. I guess I could have a kid. What else am I doing with my body?
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if I want a kid. If I found someone who I wanted to be the father mm-hmm. of my child, maybe, and I was in a financial position to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't, I was never the kid who was like, oh, I can't wait to get married and have kids. You know, yeah. I've always wanted to perform and be an actress and
career driven.
Yeah. I always imagined myself when I was a kid, like, oh, I'm going to be an actress. Mm-hmm. So I think now I want a kid because all my friends are moving with their boyfriends and getting engaged and getting married, and some have had kids. So I feel like I should want that. But truly, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you have plenty of time. You're very young still.
I'm 30, which it does feel like a lot of time, but I also like to meet someone and, you know, like, because mm-hmm. I'm trying not to do the thing where I jump into things, mm-hmm. even though I still kind of do. And
it's so hard.
It's so hard.
It's so hard to like not hook up with someone right away too, because I really do think that makes a difference. I really think that guys will put you into a category if you hook up with them right away. Like, it took a long time for me to realize not to send a guy like a naked photo of me bent over with my legs spread like right away. Because I would do that. Like,
it's
it was
like taking
nothing.
You to dinner first.
I would send the craziest photos to guys because I loved like taking pictures of myself, and I was like into my body when I was in my 20s. You know what I mean? You like feel hot and you're just like taking pictures all the time and being like, no.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I agree because I think it's.
And then I was like, what's his name?
Well, I guess for some guys, I do think that is true for some circumstances, but I do believe if you're meant to be with someone, it doesn't matter. Like, I do think it's not, like, I'm just thinking about, I just went to this wedding in Memphis, and I met this guy, mm-hmm. and he happened to live a block over from the apartment I just bought, so literally we're neighbors, and he was so hot, he mm-hmm. was so successful, I was like, this is my husband. He, like, knew my boss at yeah. Friday Beers. It was crazy. And I didn't hook up with him that night. I didn't even kiss him. Like, we, like, held hands. We spent, you know, ooh. Had such a great night together.
Yeah.
And then he was supposed to be on my flight back, and he missed it. Mm-hmm. But he was like, let's go to dinner tomorrow night. Made a reservation. And then 2 hours before we were supposed to go to dinner, he texted me that he's actually kind of seeing someone in ugh. San Francisco.
What?
And I was like, yeah. It's like, he was like, I should, like, talk to her. I should go. I'm seeing her this weekend, so let me figure it out this weekend, and I'll text you.
I'd be like, no.
I was like, okay.
No.
I was like, for sure. Anyway, he does text me when he gets back from the weekend, and I'm like, but just, like, casually, you know,
yeah.
just, like, trying to chit-chat. And I'm like, so what's up,
yeah.
dude? He's like, no, we're still haven't figured it out. And I was like, okay, well, text me when you do. And that was 2 months ago.
Mm.
So I think if I had slept with him, I probably would have felt like, oh, it's because I slept with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's... But I didn't sleep with him. And I think people are just emotionally hung up or, like, you know, there's...
Yeah, I think you never know what the situation... Like, there's so many other things that could be just sleeping with someone right away.
Yeah, and I honestly kind of wish I had slept. Because I'm like, I kind of want to see that dick. And
yeah,
now
yeah.
it's like, I probably never will.
Well, if he's your neighbor, you'll probably run into him.
But I'm, like, at this point, not even attracted to him because I'm like... I
he's
hate
like
that
caught
shit.
Up with something else.
Yeah, and it's also like he's like 5 years older than me, and it's like, get your shit together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not sure if you're with someone in
right.
San Francisco.
Well, that to me is like, first of all, she's over there. Like, it's not happening.
Yes.
Like, unless one of you guys are moving, the long distance isn't going to last. Someone's going to be fucking each other, but you're always going to be like thinking about the other person, and it's like, you don't want to be with someone who's like half in, half out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying, and I do think it's true to an extent, but I also think that for me, if I don't sleep with a guy, it's more because I don't want to get attached, not because I'm, like, trying to... I don't know. Like, not for society norms, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or, like, the expectations of women or, you know, because I think that's kind of...
But don't you get attached to someone when you hook up with them? From the oxytocin?
Not always.
No. Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I had this guy. I really hope my mom isn't listening to this.
Does she listen to the podcast that you do?
My old one? No.
My mom always listens. Wait, my dad did my podcast, you know, a couple episodes ago.
Is he Scott Disick's dad?
That was so weird. He might be. And he sent the episode to everyone he knows. I was like, I found that out. He sent it to like every single person he ever worked with at a job. I was like, you talked about having threesomes like on that.
You
like,
don't think they know?
That's true. They probably know who he is. Yeah. I was just more shocked, but they're like, oh, that's Michael being Michael.
Yeah, but you're like so talking true. About your pussy on this podcast.
I know. I'm like.
And promoting on your Instagram. It's the same shit, right?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Damn.
Who are you with these? I feel like now that you're a mother, you're like, a woman should not have sex.
Wait, did I?
No.
Because I just talked about trying to get fucked.
Yeah, wait, what?
And how I couldn't get wet.
No. Just like, I guess.
Do I seem different as a mother? Is it the puffy sleeves?
it's the puffy sleeves. It's, no. You don't.
Okay. Isn't that so weird? I'm a mom.
Yeah.
It's so funny when I call her doctor's office and then I'm like, I'm Gia's mother. And I'm like, hi. It's cute.
That's, yeah. I feel, I'm excited for you to like.
Yeah, you have to come meet her.
I know. Are you worried that like, I don't know. I feel like there's always the mother-daughter relationship of, especially.
Worried that what?
You guys are gonna, she's gonna.
Like hate me by the time she's 15.
Yeah.
I mean like. I'm very close with my mom now, and I feel like, yeah, like, I definitely was really rude to her when I was 15, and I'm sure that will happen. Like, I think when every girl is in high school, they're, like, a huge brat. So I'm
because
sure that's
going to
happen.
Hormones and, yeah.
It just is what it is, right? Like, weren't you terrible? I was so terrible when I was
Actually,
in high school.
My parents say I wasn't terrible till I got to college when I started drinking.
Oh, really?
Because I was, like, a straight-A student. I didn't get invited to parties. I wasn't cool, so, yeah. Like.
And your dad was too busy being hot. You have a hot dad. Hannah has a hot dad looking right into camera.
It's.
Has everyone always said he was a DILF?
No, not until I graduated college.
I was shocked. I was like, it's your dad? It's weird to see like a hot. I don't think I've ever seen like a hot dad from one of my friends.
That's.
Like, he'd even seem like a dad. Is he very young for a dad?
No, he's like in his 60s. But
he's in his 60s?
Yeah.
Huh.
He looks great though. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're like best friends.
Aww.
Yeah.
Are you closer with him than your mom?
Because my dad is not, my mom gets very worried and she's very anxious. Mm-hmm. So like it's easier to tell my dad things.
Yeah.
Just because he can look for a solution as opposed to worry about.
Being like, Hannah!
Yeah.
Like, it's always up here.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that? Well, I told you not to buy that. Like, and he's like, yeah.
And he's like, okay, how can we fix this? And then, you know, or not. And
that is, yeah, I feel like my dad is not solution oriented, but my mom is. No one's finding the solution but me. So it's nice that you have his support.
Yeah. And ever since I got sober, it's definitely been easier.
There's milk coming out of my nipples right now.
Oof. Can I try it?
Do you want to?
I don't know. Is it sour?
No, it's sweet.
Okay, I'll try it.
Well, not right this second.
Okay. give it a few minutes to ferment.
How was the red carpet? Was it movie awards or music awards?
Movie awards.
So did you fuck with anyone fun?
The movie awards was hard because I did the VMAs in the fall and I did the movie awards on Sunday. And the movie awards, they had less celebrities walking the carpet.
Because of COVID?
I think it was just, I'm not sure. I think with the VMAs, people are so excited to be out. And maybe musicians are just less used to walking red carpets. Whereas movie and TV people are always walking red carpets. So there were just less celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if I can say that, but there were.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot less nominations.
Because
now they do unscripted and scripted, and we just did the scripted. And I think the unscripted had a lot more celebrities because I had Paris Hilton, you know, like. And so it was really hard to talk to people, and we were at the end of the carpet. So by the time they got to us, and it was 80 degrees outside. So mm-hmm. by the time they got to us, they turned in to go to the award
yeah.
show. So it was just really hard to talk to people or even get people's attention.
Did you talk to anyone good?
I talked to, I love Meg Stalter, but like she's, yeah. you know, I know her. So she was the most fun to talk to. And there were a couple of people from Stranger Things, but I don't watch Stranger Things.
Do you have to like get people's attention? Like, hey, over here.
No, sometimes the PR people will
yeah,
be like,
okay.
yeah.
That's
but
what I thought.
A lot of people don't like to talk to Comedy Central because they're afraid they're going to be made fun of or like
oh.
they're going to be like, it's going to be a joke that they're not in on and they're going to look stupid.
Yeah.
So a lot of
like, what are you going to roast me?
Yeah. So PR people will be like, don't go there. Like Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah. Well, she's not. Is she funny?
No.
She's
but
more of a dramatic actress.
Yeah, but I would love to talk to her.
Me too. How good did she look?
Insane.
Did she look better in person?
Yeah, she's so hot.
She's so hot. Are her boobs real?
I don't know.
I really wonder. Because, like, how can she look like that? Sydney Sweeney? I've Googled it. You're not going to find the answer. Were you going to look it up? See what you can find. I know. She's so hot.
You've never seen this girl before?
I never finished Euphoria, for the record.
Really?
I was like, I'm done. I couldn't, like the school play episode, I was like, I'm done.
I didn't love second, or was that the second season? Yeah, I didn't love it.
It was also like further my pregnancy, and I was like, this isn't good vibes.
Yeah, you shouldn't be watching about a high school in LA drug addict when you're like.
it was just like too heavy.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I didn't really. When did it come out? I'm trying to think if I watched it before or after rehab, because I had the same.
After.
Mm-hmm. I kind of had the same feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, I ended up watching the whole thing, but I would skip a few weeks because I was like, I don't want to watch this tonight.
Yeah. Oh, so I did a Q&A, and one of the questions we had originally
Your flashlight is on.
Oh, God.
That you're officially a mom.
I'm old, yeah. And one of the questions was, who do you have a celebrity crush that's not good looking? What is your celebrity crush that is not good looking?
Ooh. Maybe Jonah Hill.
Which Jonah Hill?
The current one.
Okay. So skinny Jonah Hill.
Yeah, but I would take the fat one. You know, I take the good and the bad.
Yeah. You know, like, I don't think he's hot, but there's like something sort of like sexy about him. And like, I don't know if I could imagine myself fucking him, but there, can we agree there's something about Steve Buscemi?
No. That's just because he's famous and he's a talented actor.
There's nothing about
Steve
Buscemi.
If you saw Steve Buscemi in a bodega,
I'd be so uncomfortable.
No, not, but he had never been in a movie. He just worked at a bodega. Okay, that was his life job. Maybe he owned the bodega. We'll give him that. You wouldn't fuck him.
No.
So you just are attracted. You're a star fucker.
No, I think it's his talent. I think I like, I don't know, it was ever since I saw Ghost World. Did you ever see that? It was an older movie.
No.
When Scarlett Johansson was like a young girl.
No, I didn't see it. Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. It was cool. But he was like kind of hot in that.
Ghost World.
Or like Reservoir Dogs.
Okay.
And who do you have like that? Like someone who's like kind of gross. I mean, besides who you just mentioned.
I'm trying to think. I know I would have one.
Like, you didn't like Nicolas Cage.
No.
There's something interesting about Nicolas Cage.
He's no one ever.
He's a psycho. You know how he always plays a psycho?
Yeah.
I love a psycho.
I mean, I love a psycho, too. But I also think all of his movies are extremely boring.
Have you seen Wild at Heart?
No.
It's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah. It's so good. It's him and Laura Dern. It's a David Lynch movie. It's so fun. Have you seen Leaving Las Vegas?
Half of it.
Excellent. Raising Arizona. All his 90, like early 90s movies are my favorite.
Yeah, I feel that way about Vince Vaughn.
He was so hot.
So hot. Did you see the episode of Sex and the City he was on?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I love that episode when they go to LA.
Yeah.
And he is...
he's an assistant.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher's assistant.
Yes.
Yeah. That's funny. Okay, let's go to...
Now I'm trying to think of an ugly celebrity. I'll think of it.
Like, I could see you wanting to fuck, like, Elijah Wood.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Ew. But, like, I don't find him hot at all.
Yeah.
Or, like, Daniel Radcliffe. Like, a weird fairy kind of guy.
Everyone says that. They're like, you like guys with runner's bodies?
Really?
That's so funny. I don't think.
What is your type?
That's a good question.
You don't know?
I Well, so usually it's just like a guy who works at a bank, you know, just pretty bland, but like it's just like a
yeah.
a guy who played lacrosse in high school.
I could see that.
Yeah.
So he's an asshole, like a preppy asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm from Virginia, so that's
oh okay.
You know, that's what I was raised on.
Mm-hmm. Like, what celebrity do you think is so hot?
Ooh, I think. I think Nick Braun is hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like that vibe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm trying to think of who, like, what.
Succession Nick Braun or Zola Nick Braun?
Zola.
Just, the worst.
Yeah. But I heard someone told me that their friend hooked up with Nick Braun and he made her watch Up in the Sky, or that, like, movie he was in where he's a superhero.
He made someone watch a movie he was in?
Yeah, with. They were sitting together.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good. Yeah. That's bad.
Yeah. I'm aware. Good thing he doesn't answer my DMs.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd have to watch
Jake Gyllenhaal?
I've heard he's really.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard he's the biggest dick.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. My friend's sister worked at. Did you see Bad Vegan?
Yes.
So she worked at the juice bar.
Oh, great. Okay.
She said Jake Gyllenhaal always came in, but was a huge dick.
Huh. I'm surprised.
Really?
I like that. Did you like that documentary?
Yeah, it was so good.
So do you think that she really, like, was she really that unaware of this guy? Because they kind of left it open slightly, like if she was in on it or not.
Did you see the Brittany Murphy documentary?
Yeah, it was horrible.
What? I thought it was so good.
Really?
Why did you think it was horrible?
I watched the first one. The Hulu, wasn't it like on Hulu or something?
HBO Max.
Oh. Okay, so keep going then.
But it's about how she kind of got brainwashed by
uh-huh,
this guy.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he ended up killing her.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, she didn't have an agent, a manager. She didn't have her own phone. She didn't have her own email.
Or her mother, because she was now fucking him.
Yeah. He was her makeup artist on a movie, and they show her makeup in the movie, and she's literally, her lips are everywhere. Her eye makeup's everywhere.
That's how far he took it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, because they were both so drugged out. But I don't think she really knew what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw Bad Vegan, I don't think she was at Brittany Murphy's level, mm-hmm. but I also think you can convince yourself that what's actually happening is not actually happening.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Like, I could see that, but even in her interview, like, it was interesting that they didn't have the opinion of, like, a psychiatrist, like, talking about what exactly could have happened to someone like that in that situation.
Yeah, well, because the guy I dated before I went to rehab,
mm-hmm.
that was kind of my downward spiral. He did a lot of really...
Like manipulation.
Yeah.
And gaslighting.
Verbally abusive. Yeah. And this became a joke because I just said it and people laughed, but I was like, I wouldn't call him abusive because he told me not to. But it's true. Like, he would yell at me if I was like, that's a little control. Like, he'd be like, if you eat Chick-fil-A today, I'm going to break up with you.
What?
And I was like, okay. Or I said, I guess it was Baja Fresh, but.
Well, I get that.
Yeah, he had a point.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's a little controlling. And he was like, if you fucking call me abusive. Like, he was like, so crazy. Anyway, but I would never, in that moment, he broke up with me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I need you to go to therapy. Like, this is.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very nice about it, and I still wanted to be with him, and I made excuses for why he said those things to me or that I deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think you can, and it was me in rehab telling my therapist about it, and he's like, that's abuse. And I'm like, mm-hmm. no, not. And then he like pulled out this wheel of abuse
the cycle
chart.
Of abuse?
Yes.
Wait, that's what snapped me out of my abusive relationship when I saw that. And I thought it was so helpful to see that, because you're literally seeing like the information right in front of your face, and you can follow along, like, oh, gift giving stage, honeymoon stage, like this stage, and they're making up, and it's like, you can't.
Yeah, like, when he bought me clothes and then took me to Miami and then, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
then he told me his family thinks I'm trash. And then it goes around. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the guy before Steven, you know, I had the same exact situation with him. And it's like, you are under the spell. And then, like, once you're out of it, you're like, what the fuck was I thinking?
That's, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so the Wheel of Abuse chart was so helpful because I think even when I was going into rehab, he had emailed me, because I blocked him on everything. He had emailed me like about, he had heard about what happened and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to be there for me. And I was tempted to like respond.
Yeah.
But then I saw this, the Wheel of Abuse chart, and I was like, okay. It just like, yeah, it just makes it so clear, because you're like, I'm being sensitive. Mm-hmm. Because he would say, you're so sensitive. Mm-hmm. You're so dramatic. And I'd be like, oh, right, I am. Mm-hmm. But then when you see a chart that's like, you know.
Yeah, it spells it out. And then, yeah, you can just follow along and kind of like put it together.
And interestingly enough, I saw him like a week before I left for Europe. Mm-hmm. So it was about a year since I had last seen him, almost to the day. And I ran in, he was like walking on the street and I saw him. And he was getting into his car I spent so many hours helping him decide to pick out. And I'm like, oh, good for him. He got it. And I truly felt like it was so satisfying to see him because I felt nothing. And I felt like I am so different than I was a year ago. And I would have never even swiped right on your ass.
Yeah.
And
isn't
that
crazy?
It's
and then
crazy.
You're like, ew, what was I thinking? And then you're almost like embarrassed everyone knew.
Yeah. I know. I said it to my friend. I was like, he was so gross. She was like, yeah. I was
like, and it's like, why didn't you tell me? And it's like, we did.
Well, my friend didn't. She was like, you seem to like him. So I didn't want to say he's like clearly a cokehead with a, you know, he's like an overweight cokehead. It's like, what are you doing? But yeah, it's just, and I was like, he did have a lot of drug and alcohol. He has abuse issues too. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I am so happy that I am out of that phase where like, I'm just so different than I was a year ago, and thank God.
And it continues like on and on, like the more you're sober, it's so crazy.
Yeah,
just like so many things continue to unfold, and I'm so different even after 3 years. Like, you just continue developing, and it's cool.
Yeah, it's nice because I do feel like with the timing of everything that happened last year, that I never really believed in God or believed in, you know, the universe or whatever it is. And now I don't have a specific God or specific religion, but I do believe there's a power greater than myself because I just, there are things that I cannot explain and that just feel right. And like, right. It's just like my feelings in my body it's hard to describe, but like I have better intuition now and like, my therapist.
Well, it's also like starting to listen to it. Like, it was probably always there. Like, I always, like, whenever I was getting fucked up, I'd always be like, I should not go to this person's place right now to do coke all night. But like, I would ignore that. Like, you always have that thought, but you don't listen to it really. And I feel like once you get sober, you get like more of an opportunity to like hear it. And you're not just like, shut the fuck up, I'm gonna do this.
Yeah. And it's even with dating, like I'm able to draw boundaries and be like, okay, don't talk to me until you're done talking to that girl. Whereas if I was drinking, I'd be like, let's meet up, you know?
Yeah. And that's self-worth too. Like, that grows. I feel like I didn't have any self-worth until like a couple years of sobriety.
Yeah. I'm working on it. You know, I'm setting these boundaries and I'm finding that I'm just alone a lot more.
Yeah.
But it's better because I know that.
Quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, because I always said I wanted a boyfriend, but like my actions, it was very clear I did not want a boyfriend. Especially even if a guy were actually pursuing me, I'd be like, what is your problem?
Yeah.
But then this year I was like, I do think I really want a relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's tough because it relies on another person and I'm also not willing to settle and I get annoyed by people really easily. So if I don't like you, it's like, I can't just be in a relationship.
Right. It has to be with the right person.
Yeah. But so now I just feel like because I'm not drinking it, I have to like maintain, this is so embarrassing, but I have to like manage that loneliness myself. And like,
that's not embarrassing.
A little bit to no. be like, yeah.
Everyone feels that way. But that's an interesting way to put it too, saying like managing that loneliness.
Yeah.
That's like a really good way to put it.
Well, because I used to be so hard on myself and I'd be like, you know, I need to not be lonely, but it's like, I can't control that.
Mm-hmm. Damn. I wish I thought like that.
I mean, because what else can I do? Go drink? Yeah. No.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, I can just feel lonely for now. And thankfully I have a dog and.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Miley.
And I travel a lot. So I just figure out ways to keep myself busy.
Yeah.
And I saw a psychic.
Yeah, and?
So I saw a psychic 6 months ago. I'm talking to her at the end of the month because she...
If someone goes into a psychic, like, I think they already know something's, like, wrong and that they could probably tell this person anything. Like, you're probably in your most vulnerable state when anyone goes into a psychic. Like, if you're paying a rent, right? Like, were things going well when you went into a psychic?
I was like 6 months out of rehab, but I was like waiting for my life to like, I just felt like in this stagnant like place. And I still kind of feel that way, which is why I'm talking to her again at the end of the month. But more for, I don't know. She was, I mean, she was very, she seemed to know a lot about me that she wouldn't know.
So she was good.
She was really good.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
But she told me I was going to meet someone who's older. Like my person is going to be someone who's older. And like, I'm not going to meet them on an app. I'm going to meet them
In Memphis.
No. Sadly.
Did you Google Bella Hadid psychic?
No, my friend talked to this woman and her friend talked to this woman and like she just knew a lot of shit.
So what was like the vibe? Did she use cards or like just
so it was over the phone? So she was like, I can do FaceTime or phone. She was like, but I read energy, so it doesn't matter. But some people think I'm a scam if I do it over the phone, but it's totally up to you. And I was like, I'll look at myself the whole time if it's FaceTime or shit over the phone. And it was 30 minutes and she was just like immediately like, you're worried about money. And it was weird she said that because I was waiting. It was just like that week I was really, I was, it was like that week specifically, I was in this financial weird place. And I hadn't told anyone because it was like a very big stress that I didn't want my parents to know because I didn't want them to start freaking out. But then she was like, basically, stop stressing out. It's all going to work out. And then it ended up working out. But it was just weird. Immediately, she picked up on the exact feeling I was having that morning.
Whoa.
You know? And then she was like...
And then you're like, I'm listening.
Yeah. I was like, okay. And she said my grandmother's name and she...
What?
Yeah. She was like, oh, Janet's here. She's very... Wow, she's really loud. Like, and my grandmother is loud. She's very blunt. And she was like laughing. She was like, oh my God. And that was my grandmother. Like,
wow. Did that make you cry?
No, it makes me happy because I'm like, it's nice to know that, or think at least that there's something on the other side as opposed to just like nothing. And it doesn't feel like it's easier to live in the moment knowing that.
How much was the psychic?
It's like 150.
Okay.
I don't think that's that bad.
That seems, if for a good psychic, I think, I don't really pay for psychics. I think the days of $10, $20 psychics are gone, right?
Yeah.
Those are just people with a fake storefront.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, you're paying for their scarves.
Yeah.
It's a drug front.
Yeah.
But yeah, she just, for me, it was like therapeutic because she was like, you're so worried about being a spinster and like never meeting anyone, which I am. She's like, stop. You're like so desperate to find home. And I was like, okay. It's like, it's calling me desperate. That's accurate. But,
yeah.
Yeah, she told me I was about to meet him. So now every time I see an old guy, I'm like, what's up? Like, should I wheel him across the street?
That's so cool. Oh, my God. I want her number. Do you have to ask questions or does she tell you things?
She just says everything and then she gives time for questions. But I didn't really have any questions. But now I do. I'm like, where is this fucking guy?
Was anything wrong? Like, I don't know about that.
Not really, no.
Wow.
But now that it's been 6 months, I was supposed to meet this guy. I'm like, where is he?
Yeah.
Well, that's why I thought I met him. You know, And I don't think he is it, but it's, but I do feel like this is going to sound weird, but I do feel like I'm getting closer to finding my person.
Yes.
Because, I just know what I want more.
Tony's like combing his hair.
Yeah. I feel like he might be in this studio. How old are you, Tony? I'm like, what's older in psychic years, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if she's saying older.
Is it like Richard Gere or is it like someone 5 years older?
But here's the thing. If he's older, I want to meet him soon because he's obviously going to die before me. Let's get the show on the road.
How old?
I don't know.
Like, what are his benefits? Does he have, like, is he into his 401k?
Is he AARP? Yeah. The last guy I hooked up with, he was like in his 40s. And I was like, this is the one.
I one time fucked a guy who was like basically on an oxygen machine. Next question.
Wait, no, not. What do you mean? He was basically on an oxygen machine.
He was so old.
Wait, why?
Like 100% in his 80s.
Okay.
It was like
wait, but why did you fuck him?
Me and my girlfriend did together in New York. I think she thought we'd like get something from it.
Oh, he didn't even pay you up front?
Can't remember the story accurately on the microphone.
Yeah, okay. Well,
it was like in a townhouse in New York.
Yeah, anyone who's like
in
who doesn't have an apartment number, they're getting fucked.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It was gross. Okay. Next question from Steven. Craziest thing you've seen at your family's business?
Oh, right, because my parents do crime scene cleanup.
Yeah.
But also water damage, fire damage. But I lead with crime scene because I'm dramatic. It was probably the... when there's a crime in Northern Virginia, they'll have the police come and take all the evidence, but then my parents come in and they'll clean up.
So they're cleaning up the blood from a murder scene.
Yeah, because it's all biohazard and has to be done with certain chemicals and it's done a certain way.
And then, and like disposed in a certain place.
Exactly.
So they're disposing the fluids.
Yes.
Where?
I don't know.
Are they like sweeping it with like a broom? Is there like a specific...
No, I remember when I worked for them in high school or in college, my summer after freshman year, I had to work on this. They were like, you need to learn the value of hard work. So I had to go out and be a cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman had died in February. They found her body in June. Ugh. She was a recluse.
Yeah.
Recluse. And she had diabetes. So she had shit everywhere, pee everywhere. And she had, there was an outline of her body and fluids.
Oh my God. On the bed?
No, on the floor. She had fallen on the floor. So it was in the hardwood.
Ugh.
And I think that was, because so when I went in to do an, I went with my dad to do the estimate, which is where you assess.
Yeah.
Because she was also a hoarder. So it was like her house was full of shit. And so me and my dad show up to this house and he looks at me and he's like, she cannot come in this house. Like she's way too young. And it, yeah, because it smelled so bad. So they had to air out the house for days. And then they cleaned up the biohazard and that goes into like specific trash or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else got taught. We had dumpsters in the driveway to like throw out all her shit.
Was there part of you that was like, I want to go in?
Yeah, kind of. But I'm also really sensitive to smells. So I was like, also find a chill in the truck.
Yeah.
But I was like curious. I was like, you know, if someone tells me I can't do something, I'm like, now I want to go in.
So then what was the craziest? Was that the craziest thing?
Well, that was the craziest thing I experienced. But this story, so... this ex-Navy SEAL and his wife, they were in their 60s or 70s, and their daughter got pregnant, and they didn't want her to keep it because the father was in a gang, and they didn't think it was appropriate to have a child that would be a part of the gang and bring the wife into the
gang.
I'm
like holding my breath.
Yeah, so the gang, the boyfriend sent gang members to kill the parents, these people in their 70s. And not knowing that he was a Navy SEAL.
Oh, shit.
So they came
this is
in,
a movie.
Yeah, so they came in with knives, and this Navy SEAL, and they started stabbing these old people. And the guy held these gang members off and started, like, somehow took the knife and was stabbing them back.
Whoa.
And the wife ran to the window and screamed for help, and a neighbor heard, and they survived. So
oh,
they
my
lived.
God.
And the gang members got so scared because they were getting stabbed, they ran off.
Yeah.
But they caught them because a guy's bloody sock was left in the house.
Yeah, so they can get the DNA.
Yeah. But my dad...
How did his sock fall off?
You know what? I don't know.
It's like, we went in there to get to stab someone and you lost the sock?
It's like, why are you wearing socks?
I don't know why they were Italian. Yeah.
Yeah, an Italian mob. But... Anyway, there was an article printed in the newspaper about
like Cinderella, the missing bloody sock.
Well, more like, you know, ex-Navy SEAL gets stabbed and whatever. My dad has the article framed.
Oh.
And like hung in the office. And I'm like.
And he's like, see this? Clean that blood. Dispose that sock.
But it's like this like really gruesome headline that's like framed in our, you know, in the office. So
yeah,
if you're a
proud papa.
Yeah. It's like, how are you involved in this?
Like, what about that? Felt like it needed to go next to your Harvard certificate.
Yeah.
Wait, so does he, so he goes on the scene of the crime with things, or at this point, do they have people who work for them doing it?
They do, but my parents still work. Like, they'll still do estimates.
Because they're like, you know, Hannah, we got to get in there and, like, we just love to get in there and, like, smell that. Like,
yeah.
Decaying.
They like the drama of it.
Yeah.
No,
it sounds exciting.
I think it's, I mean, a lot of it's mold cleanup and water damage and like sewage. So a lot of it's not exciting. It's really disgusting. And it's really gross work. But I think what's interesting, which is something I noticed the summer I worked there too, people don't clean their homes when they have service people come over. Because they're, mm-hmm. it's almost like mm-hmm. they don't realize that people are coming. They don't consider the fact that the people in these suits or like in a polo coming to see your house are people that can see your like 12 dildos on the coffee table. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like very like.
Wait, what do you mean service people?
Like, you know, working, it's a blue collar job. So just mm-hmm. being a service worker and mm-hmm. going into someone's home, it's like.
But if you're going in to clean a hoarder's home.
But it's not always a hoarder. So like, oh, if there's okay. a fire or something, if someone had a fire, a kitchen fire.
Oh, and you're cleaning and you're doing like a general cleanup and they're still not putting away their 12 dildos.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't know if I should be offended that you don't think I have eyes or you don't think it matters because, yeah. but not that you have to get your house ready like a guest, but I do feel like there's this, it's just very odd to me that no one, or maybe that's just the way people live and I'm not.
Yeah, my mom grew weed at our house when we were growing up, when I was a kid. And she was hanging, like, all of the, I guess, like, marijuana plants upside down on, like, clotheslines in our basement where the laundry, like, room was.
Your mom's like weeds.
Yeah, she did. And then she said a plumber came downstairs and she was like, pretend you never saw this. And he was like, lady, I've seen a lot of weird shit. And then she had to give him some.
Interesting.
I know. I thought that was such a crazy story. And it's so funny because I didn't realize that there was like this huge weed plant in our backyard and I'd always play it like around it. And then I saw a picture of me and I was like, that's a fucking weed plant. And then she told me the story. But she didn't tell me until I like saw the photo.
Is your mom still a stoner?
No, she didn't. She was like, I didn't even like smoke. We did it for an experiment. And I was like, huh? And then
not even to make money, just is that what she means?
That's what she claimed. But like, I never, my dad, I think, was more of a stoner than she was. I do think she might have just been into gardening. And then I remember I was like, I want to grow weed. And then she goes, I was waiting for this day. And she was dead serious when she said this. And she came downstairs and had this like box with like a special seed in it. And she was like, I've been saving this seed. Like, let's plant this seed. And it was like
giving
a
you
a weed plant.
It was like giving you her wedding dress.
Yeah.
She's like, I've been waiting for this day.
Yeah, totally.
I always knew this day would come.
She never, it was a weed in like a special box.
That is odd.
I know.
And then you want, you know, I guess you don't wonder why you have addiction.
What?
I guess that makes sense, right? To have addiction. I feel like.
Totally. Totally.
I know. I learn about my dad's side of the family and I'm like, yeah. Obviously, I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, totally.
But I didn't learn that till later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like finding out more about them and then things click together for you.
Yeah. And the alcoholism that like runs on both sides mm-hmm. and like, because mm-hmm. I guess parents wouldn't want to talk about like an adult in the family having alcoholism.
Yeah.
But I think it's important because
I don't think my family ever talked about it, but I just could tell from certain members of the family.
Well, I had this vision of an alcoholic as someone who like drank in the morning under their bed, you know, like a very Lifetime movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because I was sheltered from like the reality of
like what it can mean.
Yeah.
But it could mean just like someone at 5 o'clock every day, then they drink like 3 bottles of wine.
Yeah. But that's not really, you know, in the suburb, that's not really an alcoholic. That's
a mom.
A soccer mom.
Yeah, totally. I know that is true. They give it like a funny name. So one more question. How did you overcome your fears to finally start doing stand-up? You're inspiring to me, someone said on Instagram. I just had to say that wasn't for me.
Was that Steven?
No, it was someone else.
I guess it was that. I don't know. I guess. I guess it was that class helped mm-hmm. a lot. And also, I had gone on shitty auditions, you know, Actors Access casting mm-hmm. networks. And those were terrifying and felt demoralizing. And I was like, I knew I wanted to be a performer, but I did not want to be going to someone's basement to do a student film.
Right.
I was like,
there has to be another way.
There has to be another way. And I feel like stand-up was, I just love writing it. And I actually like writing better than performing because mm-hmm. performing still makes me nervous. I still get mm-hmm. nervous. There's nothing worse than spending all day writing and then going to do a show and bombing every joke. And you're like, well, that's the day. But I think it's just, more just like my I just love it, and that's what I've wanted to perform my whole life. So more than fear. And I'm like scared of everything else. Like I'm scared of spiders.
I'm so afraid of spiders.
I'm scared of bugs.
Yeah.
I'm scared of snakes. I don't like heights. I don't want to go skydiving.
No,
like
never. I never want to go skydiving. I never want to go bungee jumping.
No.
Like I don't want to jump off like a rock.
Yeah.
You know those people who do that?
Yeah. It's like, I don't think the thrill would outweigh like the anxiety leading up. You know what I mean?
Like woohoo. Like jumping off like 1,000 feet. No.
Yeah.
I'll stay here.
But I think also it's like, what does that prove? That's not going to prove something to me, you know?
Right.
Like quitting drinking is proving something to myself. But, and some people are like, I just want to do it to say I did it. It's like,
yeah.
No one cares.
I need that rush. Have a Red Bull. Have a can.
Yeah. You're going to tell me about your skydiving experience? I
do a line of coke, you fucking loser. You don't need to jump off a building.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess everything is so scary to me. So stand up is like less scary than a spider or a cockroach.
Yeah, that is true. How funny. Miley,
any thoughts?
Thank you for coming.
She's had really bad diarrhea.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you feed her?
I think she's just nervous from stress, but I was feeding her like turkey.
She's nervous from stress?
She's stressed.
Because your dog's hot that she's stressed.
Yeah.
Like, I've never thought my dog was stressed. Like, I have a bulldog. Like, I've never been like, oh, Jagger. Like, he's not hot enough to be stressed.
Yeah. But what about the videos when you leave and he's, like, pawing at the door? He looks
pretty stressed. That's just him being an asshole.
Yeah, he's sad. He's, like, lonely.
Bulldogs
are... He's, like, a fat loser who's, like, don't leave me. I can't be alone. I'll never find anyone.
We had to put up, like, plastic things on the doors so he can't scratch them anymore because he ruined all of the doors in our new place.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear.
No, it's okay.
Well, I mean, you're about to have a kid who's going to fuck shit up, right, when they're a toddler?
Yeah, 100%. So we know she'll be scratching at the door when
What's
going to
be your one rule as a mom?
We actually decided we don't mind if she curses, but that's not a rule. Like a rule.
You're actually giving her more freedom.
I don't know. Like a rule. I have a feeling that Steven and I are going to be subtly competing to be the cool parent. Like, I don't think any one of
us...
It's
not gonna be subtle.
I don't think, like, any one of us wants to be, like...
Bad cop?
Yeah, bad cop. Because Steven has been like, I'm gonna be a cool father, and I'm, like, cataloging that and putting that to the side. Like, oh, well, we'll see about that. Because I don't want to be the one who's, like, the parent that, like, they're, like, ugh, rolling their eyes at. But I can't think of, like, the one rule, like... What do you mean? Like, I absolutely don't want her to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what would be a rule for you?
I haven't thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, because I use the pull-out method. But I like a rule. I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend until I was 16, which was a useless rule for me.
Yeah, I didn't have any rules like that. I mean, like, I would definitely, like...
I wasn't allowed to wear makeup until high school.
Mm.
And even then, my parents were like, this looks bad.
See, like, I'm almost like, when can I put makeup on her? Like, I look at her sometimes. She's 2 months old. Well, I thought of, like, wouldn't it be funny if my friend came over and she had lipstick on? But then I'm like, maybe she's too young. So, like, I'm already there with that.
Okay,
just for fun. Well, when you have them, you want to like dress them up like little dolls.
I mean, I want to dress her up like a little doll. I have dresses for her.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Little slut.
Yeah.
And we'll end here. Thank you, Hannah, so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
That was abrupt. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Steven said I had to be home at a certain time, and I'm scared. Wait, hold on. So, where can we find you? On social.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Okay.
I thought we were done. at Hans Dickey.
What is Hans Dickey?
In college, my nickname was Hans, and my other nickname was Dickey.
I love it.
So I became Hans Dickey.
Mm-hmm. And stand up? You have some stuff online, right?
Yeah.
Like the Comedy Central.
Yeah, I have like a Comedy Central clip, I guess. I don't know. Just mostly my Instagram. That's where it counts, right?
And we love it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Miley.